John.
Whoa. Are you okay?
No, man. I was just outside. There's robots.
Yeah.
They burnt down a building.
Yeah, they
trashed Walmart. It was already pretty bad.
Yeah.
They stole some letters, dude.
They stole letters?
Yeah.
Which
from
ones?
The alphabet. They stole E, O, and U.
That means that all that's left is...
AI.
This is strange stuff.
Welcome to Stranger Steel.
Wow. All right. Podcast where Nick tries an impression and isn't happy with it, and we move on. I'm John Vegan.
I'm Nick Wood.
Okay, that's a little better. You gotta like slide into it a little bit.
Oh, hang on. Let me start over. Ready?
Okay.
Welcome to Stranger Steel.
Wow, that's not bad. Could I try?
Yeah.
Okay. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Boop, beep, 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 boop. 101111.
The robots are here. Oh, God. What's going on, John? What is this show? What do we do on this thing?
We answer the question you never thought about asking.
And today, that question is, are there any practical...
Are we doomed?
Well, more specifically, I want to tackle if there's any practical uses for AI.
Yep.
I got to give a special shout out before we start.
Like a linebacker tackling an AI ref.
Yeah.
What? You said you're going to tackle something.
Oh, sometimes I forget the words I say. So when you reference the words that I say, I immediately dispose of them in my brain.
Yeah, your brain's like, it gives you the cliff notes.
So anyway, this comes from my dad because he was joking about AI not having any practical uses. And I was like, AI probably pointed some people at our podcast, so don't talk about AI so bad.
Betty goes to weather.com instead of asking Siri.
Yeah, I guess weather does use AI. But I've heard this before. People are like, AI is only evil. Mm-hmm. There's no practical application of AI. And I wanted to figure out if there are practical uses of AI. And of course, the definition of practical is, I mean, it's subjective here.
All right, I get it. You're from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Can you explain what AI means, though?
AI means artificial intelligence.
Thank you.
Well, we've talked about this a little bit before.
Sure.
We talked about whether or not AI is racist when we talked about...
face whitening apps.
Face app or whatever. What's that called?
I think it was face app. Or it was before face app. Some other weird thing.
Man, I don't
it would like
anymore.
Beautify you.
Yeah, it would. They had a hotter button, and the hotter you made yourself, the wider you got.
Yeah.
But that's we've talked about machine learning and AI before. It's important to cover it again before we get into this episode, just in case. Just a high level explanation of how machine learning works. John, go for it.
A high level explanation.
Yeah.
So you get a computer, and you say, "Hey, don't forget about it."
Yeah.
And then it done.
That's how it does.
Right. That's how it do.
Do you ever, like, you're laying in bed and you're watching YouTube and then you find yourself 3 hours later down a YouTube rabbit hole? You ever do that?
Yeah.
So I've done this a couple times with machine learning. Like, people will make applications that teach a little avatar how to walk or how to jump or how to run, and they do it over like hundreds of iterations and stuff, and I'll just sit there and watch it for no reason.
And it's probably a YouTube algorithm that's AI
pointing
you there. Yeah.
But the way the machine learning...
Like, hey, look what we did. Look at this. Look what my cousin did over here.
Yeah.
Look, he can jump.
look at Jimmy.
Look at him.
He can jump now.
All right, yeah, now watch this.
But when we talk about AI in today's world, what we're talking about is neural network or machine learning, where you have a program, you tell it to do one specific thing, usually, and it does that thing, and then you tell it how well it did, and it uses that to perform better next time.
Okay.
So if you have a little avatar, like a little ball that's supposed to jump over a block, on the first iteration, it'll just go up against the block and it won't move. And then like it realizes that it can squish and then go a little bit higher. So it finds like the optimal way in the next iteration to squish and get even higher. And then over hundreds of iterations, it finally gets over that block. Just by giving itself feedback, it's like a feedback loop. It says, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else. So it'll go try something else. Did that work? Yes. Okay, then we'll try that again next time with a different iteration. And it's like making a synapsis in your brain for one specific task.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we were babies again and someone's like, hey, baby, all that you need to learn how to do is sit up straight. And that's all the brain power went toward. You'd have a brain that eventually learned how to do that, but no other tasks.
Yeah.
That's what, like, machine learning is.
And countless nights on your back wondering, why? Why can't I do this? What is this prison I'm in that I have to sit up straight?
Yeah.
And get me out of this computer.
Yeah.
Beep, boop, boop.
You're getting into some Tron stuff now.
Uh-huh.
So in today's world, it's used already for all kinds of stuff. Social media uses it. We've already joked about it, giving search results. Mm-hmm. Like, Google uses it to say, did this person like this thing? Yes, no, they did. Okay, we'll give them more of this next time. So it's using machine learning in a roundabout way. We've talked about it with, like, Siri using machine learning, all kinds of stuff.
A lot of algorithms. Yeah.
A lot of algorithms are based on this stuff. I have a few examples of what I call meh uses of AI. most of it is just, like, quality of life stuff, I guess I'd say. Like, I don't know. People are using it to figure out what stocks to buy or how to get to work faster, stuff like that.
Yeah. Finding faster routes, stuff like that. I mean, it does have really cool uses if you get super down the road.
And that's where we're going to go. Yeah. That's where we're going to go today.
I'm ready because I have a little bit of knowledge about, or at least I'm super interested in mostly, like, its effect on social democracy versus capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that there'll be less jobs, but that means we'll have to work less.
Yeah.
And it's up to companies to make sure that yeah. translates.
I'll address this more specifically a little bit later on, but I think people are afraid of AI taking over jobs.
Yeah.
But in some cases, people can't find people to do the job, so they have to go to AI to do it for them.
Yeah.
I'll touch on that
there's
a little bit more
later.
There's
also a positive, like, there's the Michael Brooks podcast, Majority Report, talk about mm-hmm. transition to, like, a lesser hour work week where you get paid mm-hmm. the same, but
yeah.
you have to do less work because
yeah.
we have technology.
It's like the Jetsons. That's literally the Jetsons.
Yep. Yep.
They get paid a living wage, and they do, I think, like, 2 hours of work a day or something ridiculous
yeah.
like that. But before we get to practical uses of AI, I do want to touch on how we're going to define practical. Because depending on your perspective, you could say search results are practical. They're going to get you what you need faster. But that doesn't really better society. Like, it's not like, wow, I found out. Well, I guess, like, okay.
Oh, no,
this is a slippery
I'm choking.
Slope. Yeah. Like,
how do I stop choking?
Getting that
Google.
Search result is good. But, like, what kind of lizard is that? Okay, maybe that's a poisonous lizard. Let me think of a good example.
Uh-huh. You're 0 for 2 right now.
Like,
I'm not convinced.
What is this song? But then if there's a guy that's like, give me the name of this song, I'm going to shoot everyone in this room.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So basically, my definition for practical uses is, would it by and large provide some sort of benefit to society? Like, more than just, like, one person. Like, what is this song? Or what's the definition of Chumbawamba?
Those are both very beneficial to society. I'm still not on the same page as you, but I'll go along, so.
No, okay. What are you on the same page as? Of what I mean by practical?
These are all very beautiful uses of AI.
Okay, so let's get a little bit more specific. When I talk practical,
uh-huh.
I'm talking about making roads safer, healthcare and medicine, preservation of land and animals, robotics, and security.
Cool. Into all of them, except for security is a little
That's
little
why I
droney.
Saved it for last.
It's a little droney.
Yeah. That's why I saved it for last, because it's a good transition into the end of this episode when we'll talk about some creepy uses for AI. Actually, me and my brothers had a really good discussion about self-driving cars, because there's a big debate going on about, like, truck drivers are like, we're going to lose our jobs over this if you have self-driving semi-trucks. And from my perspective, I know it's probably more nuanced than what I'm thinking of, but wouldn't we want less people on the roads? Like, that's why ride sharing is so popular and why public transportation is so popular, because you get a bunch of people off the roads.
Not only that, I mean, as long as we have more control over, you're talking about, like, accidents, right? Not
yeah.
like not like gas emissions,
right?
Which could probably be more controlled that way too.
Oh, absolutely!
Yeah.
You optimize your route and stuff. But driving and self-driving cars are pretty straightforward. We're already using AI to make travel better. Like, Tesla has the self-driving cars. We couldn't do that without machine learning. Uber and Lyft also, they select the closest drivers to someone trying to get a ride or figure out the best route to pick someone up for the ride sharing. Google has also started implementing AI into their maps to cut down on commute times. which I joked about before, but this is like a wide swath of helpfulness. Yeah. It tracks like the live speed of traffic using the user's data.
And we've seen the first iterations of delivery drones as well.
Yeah. Also, I think it was like 2012, Google acquired Waze. And on Waze, people can report like traffic incidents or speed traps, yep, or road construction, all this stuff that then they can plug in and optimize your route even better, which is great. I hate being in the car, don't you?
Yeah, it depends on the day.
In terms of medicine and healthcare, I found the site builtin.com gave me a lot of good ideas for this, and they had some stats on how AI is already helping in the world of healthcare. They said, quote, AI-enabled virtual assistants are reducing unnecessary hospital visits and giving nurses 20% of their time back in the process. Workflow assistants are helping doctors free up 17% of their schedules. And they list a few companies that are working on improving medicine or...
Yeah, I knew one that was Schwarzenegger's Incorporated that it started telling people that it's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
But then it realized that was the better way to say it. And people felt more comforted when it was not a tumor.
Yeah. You know that Arnold Schwarzenegger has to like keep up on his Austrian accent because he like loses it because he's been in America so long.
Like, boy, howdy. I just can't wait for my next film.
Yeah. He has to stay up on it.
Does he watch YouTube and practice?
I don't know what he does.
He watches old Schwarzenegger films.
Yeah. So there's a few companies working on this. There's one called Path AI. Uses machine learning to look at tissue samples and provide advice for pathologists when they're making a diagnosis. And pathologists, they look at like tissue samples to study diseases. So they can bring in large swaths of data and have the machine look at stuff that they might otherwise miss just because we're humans. There's also a company called Pager that you plug your symptoms into, like WebMD, but it's machine learning, and it says whether or not you should seek medical attention. Like you tell it all the aches and pains that you have, and it's like, yeah, you should probably go to the hospital. My arm fell off. Should I go to the ER? So I think that it's a great idea to reduce needless hospital visits and free up nurses and doctors' time. I also, if you have the availability, I think you should err on the side of caution. Just go.
Yeah.
If you're worried, you know your body better than a computer knows your body, but whatever. There's also the one that I liked most was called AtomWise, and it studies a bunch of different chemicals and compounds used in medicine, and also looks at a bunch of different clinical trials that have been done on like experimental medicine. And it helps researchers be like, maybe try this for that disease or something. Like, these compounds worked in this clinical trial, so try this in your next iteration of the medicine. And right now they're actively using it to try to find a cure for Ebola and multiple sclerosis. So
nice.
These are practical so far. What do you think?
I thought I just saw a recent article about a cure for Ebola too.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they had something to do with it.
I hope so.
Who knows? If only there was a way that we could find out.
Yeah.
Like a search engine.
Like a search, like if there was a library.
Yeah, but on your computer, because I don't want to go all the way to the library.
Yeah.
Next up is preservation of land and animals. And actually, Microsoft is doing a lot of AI work in terms of preservation, both land and animals. And I think they're doing stuff with farmers as well. Like they're trying, I couldn't find it, but they're also trying to solve for the biodiversity problem that we see in the future. Like a ton of animals are going extinct right now at like 1,000 times the normal rate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're making robots that can create pills that make us forget they ever existed.
Yeah.
And delete them from the internet history.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that we don't miss them when they're gone.
Yeah, they're called the Streisand effect.
Yep.
Oh, wait, that's the opposite of that. they're going extinct, and people, not just Microsoft, but other people are using machine learning to bring in a bunch of data to see if they can find any patterns as to why these animals are disappearing. It's probably usually going to be human causes, but... Why solve the human problem when we could just be like, oh,
let's put a band-aid on that kangaroo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So specifically, Microsoft is trying to use machine learning to look at mosquitoes to learn about the animals that they suck blood from and take that even a step further. They're also using like high definition satellite images to look at land cover and look at small changes in the environment to see what we as humans might miss. Like there's this subtle change in South America that no one would have noticed, but it can quickly domino. So put our priorities for preservation there as opposed to Michigan. Wait, that's not a good example. Like Wisconsin.
Okay.
See what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
So I guess the benefit there is that they can just prioritize their work and their funds and their research and all that stuff where it's needed. And my favorite one, but not the last practical use that I have here, is robotics.
Yeah, dude, little butlers, little buddies.
That's where your mind
little
goes.
Little lovers.
So I think when most people are afraid of robots with AI because they think
that they're going to be bald with their head exposed, like that one woman.
Yeah, like Sophia.
Yeah.
That's her name. Sophie or Sophia, I don't remember. I think most people think of like the Terminator or the Bicentennial Man or that really bad Steven Spielberg movie called Roly Poly Oly. Were they robots?
Yeah, dude, kind of.
God, that was some CGI. Robots,
the movie.
Robots, the movie. So I don't think that people, when they think of robots with AI, I don't think that they think of the practical uses. I watched this video from CBS where they talked to a strawberry farmer. This was what I was talking about before. He needed about 600 people every couple days to pick 600 acres of strawberries. And he just couldn't find the workforce. People are finding jobs elsewhere. They don't want to farm anymore. Whatever the cause is, he couldn't find the workforce to do this. So he had to turn to robots and AI. And they built this, like, looks like a giant combine. It kind of looks like a moving farm, almost.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's got a roof and it's like rectangle and stuff, but it replaces like 30 people and it goes through like six rows of strawberries at a time, and they use AI to go down these rows of strawberries, look for if it's ripe or not, red and whatnot, and it picks it. And then when it's done picking, they can say, hey, you picked this one that's not ripe, or you picked this one in a way that damaged it.
Yeah,
they feed that back in,
and then
it does better the next time.
It has a filter built in so that all the clown noses that people lost go into one bin.
Right.
And then, you know,
Bozo's been looking for, he's like, I know I lost the strawberry patch.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to go look for it. And they're expensive. They're like $2
at
Walmart.
Yeah, they could get pretty expensive. Yeah.
But as you mentioned, there's also Sophia, as I have her name in my notes. So that must be her name. She's kind of creepy. It's not
what's that word for that when it's so close
uncanny
to human?
Valley.
Yes, thank you.
We could do a whole episode. We could do a whole video.
We could do a half episode.
Sophia is made by Hanson Robotics, and they hope to eventually make like a whole line of Sophias. No idea why. Actually, I do. They think that it could help like training people, or they can put them in museums, and you could ask it a question, how you would ask a person a question, and it could help these people learn about whatever they asked. Which my mind immediately went, you know what the Hall of Presidents is at Disney?
Yeah, have them talk and explain about their own lives.
Yeah,
that's
can
dope.
You imagine like going in there and being able to talk to Millard Fillmore
or Donald Trump? Did you think about that?
Mm-mm.
Did you think that far ahead?
I didn't think that far ahead.
Are you still excited?
I was stuck on Millard Fillmore.
Okay. Yeah, Millard Fillmore. Everyone's favorite president.
Yeah. beyond that, I think the coolest use of robotics is Mars rovers. As we've all seen, this is a little bit of a diversion, but I would think most people have seen those Boston Dynamic dogs that they build, and they started putting machine learning in them so that the dog could learn a rocky terrain and learn how to navigate over like crags and giant
astro crags.
Yeah, agro crags. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to get the chunk of the aggro crack. You know how badly I want one of those?
Yeah, it's probably on sale somewhere.
I doubt it. But they're putting this type of technology into Mars rovers, and by 2021 they plan to put one on Mars, and it can navigate the terrain of Mars easier. It's also going to be able to use AI to determine the best places to drill for samples, which samples are important. And eventually someone will go there and bring them back to Earth, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have a human to go out there and get this cache of samples and bring them back for us to study.
Yeah, dude. Or maybe we could send our own little robot dogs to the local grocery store to get free food samples and bring them back to us.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
But I thought that was a joke at first, and I thought, like, that'd actually be really cool for senior citizens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like Meals on Wheels, but dogs.
Dogs on pogs.
Dogs on pogs. Doesn't really work. I think this is NASA that said the mission also provides opportunities to gather knowledge and demonstrate technologies that address the challenges of future human expeditions to Mars. These include testing a method for producing oxygen in the Martian atmosphere, identifying other resources such as subsurface water, improving landing techniques, and characterizing weather, dust, and other potential environmental conditions that could affect future astronauts living and working on Mars. Hmm. Pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's a great...
And it's really good at making humans depressed when you learn that the Mars rover sings itself happy birthday every year on its birthday.
It's pretty sad, isn't it? And then the last one that I have here is... security. And before we get down this slippery slope of AI, security doesn't just mean like home or business security. It can also mean financial security.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so
a little better.
Before we get into the hinky stuff, we got to talk about like fraud protection. Amazon is already using this. This is a little bit of a stretch, but they're using it to find like counterfeit products on their website. So apparently Apple found that 90% of the quote unquote official chargers on Amazon were fake. They're knockoffs. And so
what percent?
90%.
No,
that's what they said.
There's no way.
That's what Apple said.
Okay.
But they're really good at inflating their numbers. Am I right?
Oh, look at that.
Except for their stock price. Ayo! Hey. So they're using machine learning to go through and look for things that might be grammatical issues that wouldn't be in their like their copy, or I guess verbiage that they wouldn't use in their copy, stuff like that. They're checking for stuff like that. FICO also uses machine learning to protect against fraudulent credit card purchases. I'm sure other credit card companies do that as well. It can also prevent against cyber attacks. Some companies are using machine learning to prevent hackers from getting into their systems. But then once you get outside that, you get into the real world, things quickly become problematic for reasons that we'll get into.
Yeah. I want to say the last good thing about that though, is like, you know, you could train your machine, and I always see like examples of this on Tumblr or wherever, that if you do get a home invader, you can have, like you could program Alexa or teach it to turn the lights in your house green, yell "Get out of my swamp," and then play All Star by Smash Mouth.
Those were some good memes while they were around. But when you have, if you have like a police force or a security system set up with AI, it can quickly lead to profiling, which we already did a whole episode on racist AI. So just go listen to that. So before we get to the problematic or creepy or bad uses of AI, I want to go through my 5 honorable mentions for AI. Those are my meh uses. Let me get your thoughts on these just real fast.
Oh, man. Okay.
Mentions. So personal assistants like Siri or Alexa.
I'm into it. You don't use it?
I do, but it's not like practical, is it?
Yeah.
You think it is?
I am in the complete darkness. I've got one dog in my left arm. I've got some snacks in my right arm. And I barely have a pinky wrapped around my phone.
Yeah.
And I say, "Hey, Siri, flashlight on." And she turns it on.
What about using AI to have a better travel experience? It'll book 1%? You the best flights, or it'll give you suggestions on like where to go when you're in a certain area or hotels to stay at.
Yeah, that's pretty meh.
What about like social media or search results or even marketing giving you personalized suggestions?
Sometimes that's all right, except it's kind of weird when I mention something
and it shows up. Yeah.
But I feel like that's mostly in our heads.
Yeah. I'm torn on this because I hate using this kind of technology for something like marketing. But at the same time, I would rather see ads for things that I want rather than like wish.com.
Yeah. Dude, I want wish.com stuff.
Yeah. What about buying stocks?
I can't relate.
That's fair.
It's above my pay grade.
Yeah. What about using machine learning to suss out plagiarism?
Yeah, that could probably be pretty decent. But let me just extend that to my generation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about stolen content.
Yeah.
Stolen videos, stolen memes.
Okay, that's not practical, but it is important, I guess.
The evil side of that is fair use rules on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a review or something, there's all these farms that people go out and they make copyright claims on videos to try to get you demonetized. And a lot of that has to do with AI initially making the discovery.
Yeah. They stopped that. They like shut the big one down.
It's awesome.
Universal Music Group, they're hiring like call centers to flag
just to
claims
bring people's
on. Yeah.
Day. Yeah.
So I don't think those are like plagiarism. I don't think it's practical because we live in the age of the internet where if you rip off, this is a random example, you sort of kind of rip off Michelle Obama's speech.
Okay. Okay.
Everyone on the internet's going to recognize it and call you out on it.
Right.
So there's no, plagiarism is going to get recognized like right away.
Well, there could be small scale. I could be a small time writer.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, or how about
or like a school paper or something?
Right. And then, you know, it ends up on Vox.
Yeah.
Like people do that stuff all the time with especially clothing companies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like really like big name or trying to look small hipster clothing companies that steal art from people on DeviantArt.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. So let's get into some creepy uses. So I got five creepy uses. Well, okay.
So I'm going to, let's say officially we turn that from meh to yeah.
Yeah.
Spelled the same. Y-E-H. Yeah.
So I've got five more. And I don't, they're creepy.
And they're kooky?
A little bit spooky. Altogether. Altogether spooky. Some of them are bad. So we're going to start off creepy and work our way toward bad. And I'm just going to get your thoughts on these. I have a few stats on a couple of these. But what do you think of things like chatbots? Like, we've had these since AOL Instant Messenger, or AIM as the kids call it these days.
I had a chatbot on my phone named Replica.
Yeah.
That learns my personality as I talk to it and then responds to me in a pleasing way.
That's creepy. And, I don't like it.
Eventually it will replace me.
Yeah.
And, take money from my bank account, hang out with my friends.
So the customer service industry says that this stuff's a good thing because then you don't need to
hire anybody and you could keep more profits and fire so many people. And
You can have a personalized customer service experience. But once you go beyond that, like, people start using these for Instagram or Tinder to swindle you, or worse, John, people can make Twitter bots read all of J.K. Rowling's tweets and then generate J.K. Rowling tweets.
Oh, man. Can we read a few of them? Because it's just my favorite.
It's been off the rails lately. I don't know if you can find a good one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you look while I go into these. Because the next one I have is deepfakes. How do you feel about those?
Deepfakes?
Yeah.
Man, it could be horrible and terrible, but then you see Nicolas Cage in Indiana Jones.
Okay. So it's very a nuanced opinion that you have. So the way that, like,
it's a tool that can be used for horrible things and originally started that way.
Yeah, like revenge pornography.
Yeah.
There's a channel out there I watch on YouTube, Corridor Digital. They made a parody video of Keanu Reeves, like, being the nicest dude in the world, and they just use, like, a imitation actor and put his face over it and stuff. They also did it with Tom Cruise. These days it's pretty convincing.
Yeah.
Like, they just let it bake over 72 hours, take every picture of Keanu Reeves or Tom Cruise that's ever existed, and it finds out where the eyes are, the nose is, the mouth is, and just maps it, and they go through it, like, several iterations, several generations over, like, 72 hours, and they can just put a face on someone.
I own the software. I downloaded it.
Yeah, anyone can have it.
Yeah, I never used it, but I wanted to do, like, parody videos and stuff.
It's just creepy.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into pornography.
Sure. Well, yeah, then that's horrible, and there should be laws against that. But when you do skip over that dark side of it, there's an account on Instagram called The Fakening, for example.
Okay.
And they talk about how there's actually new technology coming out. They're going to do full body deep fakes and be able to just replace everything instead of just the face. Also, you've noticed they can't blink, because you can't. If you ever watch now, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
So it's like every time they try to, like,
because usually there's no pictures of people with their eyes closed.
Right.
Yeah. That is a problem. What about face tracking?
That's how I unlock my phone.
Let me get into this a little bit.
It literally more. Like I could have my eyes closed, look at my phone, and won't unlock.
Yeah.
Or I could be looking the wrong way, but if I have to make eye contact with my camera.
Yeah. So more specifically, let's talk about, like, government funded surveillance cameras.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Because whenever you bring that up, people cry in 1984. And I remember a long time ago hearing that, like, there's this technology that uses AI to track someone's movements over multiple cameras, and then it could predict where they were headed.
Yeah.
I think it was using, like, London or something. I couldn't find it for this. But China, you've heard of them. They've been putting up a lot of surveillance cameras lately.
Yep.
And they started implementing facial recognition with a lot of these cameras. And as it turns out, China is most likely going to use this AI to be racist.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I was totally being sarcastic when I said I love it.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they started setting up the same thing. And I think it was China that set it up in Hong Kong. Like, a recent episode, we talked about the Hong Kong protests.
Yeah.
And I saw protesters, they all knocked the surveillance cameras down as a direct action protest.
Yeah. So normally I'm against, like, if you're going to go do a protest, don't do any property damage. But in this case, I think it's justified, because the thought is that they were going to use the facial recognition to track someone, figure out who they are, where they live, where they go, and then make them disappear. And that's frightening. But even before that, I saw an article back from April this year from the New York Times There's a group of, a lot of people might not know this. I didn't, so I'm going to assume that at least one other person doesn't out there. Maybe I'm just stupid. Who knows? but there are 11 million Uyghurs, or Turkish, largely Muslim people, living in northwest China. And if you watch The Young Turks, it's kind of spelled like Uyghur, like Cenk Uygur's last name.
Okay.
He's talked about this before, yeah. But it's pronounced Uyghur. And China doesn't like them living there, so they've placed a lot of Uyghurs under in detention centers. And New York Times reported that they've been using, there's like five people that talked to the New York Times with the assurance of anonymity, that China's been using facial recognition to track 11 million Uyghurs, places that they frequent, and when they go there. And I don't know what they're going to do with this, but
yeah,
they're doing
horrible.
It. They're using this AI to be racist to 11 million people. And that's horrifying, in my opinion.
Yeah, everybody's got to get their Guido Fox masks out.
Yeah. What about war and weapons and stuff? What do you think about that?
Awful. Terrible. Gross. Eventually, it's going to have the capability to make decisions for generals, and that's terrifying.
So I think most people are worried about the black and white decisions that AI makes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people blame it on the famous incident in 1983 when former Soviet military officer Stanislav Petrov noticed that Russian computers had incorrectly put out a warning that the U.S. had launched nuclear missiles, averting nuclear war. So the computer says, oh my God, the U.S. launched missiles. We have to launch those off. And there's no human interaction anymore. So then we have nuclear war.
Yeah, and if I made that mistake 20 years from now instead of...
Well, almost exactly 20 years. I don't know where people got the statistics, but I guess there's like futurists out there that say by 2040, this could be really detrimental to nuclear war. Yeah. What about future prediction, John?
Yeah, like the Minority Report, was it?
Let's start a little bit lighter before we go there.
All right.
No. Yes, we won't go there yet. Let's talk about predicting your death.
Yeah, like that cool trailer we saw before it.
I think that movie was called Countdown. Let me see if there's a trailer for it yet.
And you said you had trouble finding it. Type in Countdown Tom Segura. I know he's in it.
Tom Segura. Is that it? Countdown. I don't know. It looks really bad. And I was laughing in the movie theater at it. But there's people working on things to predict your death, which is just kind of creepy. The universe.
It makes sense, though. I mean, I guess that's going to be an unfortunate, like, overload of info as far as personalized medicine is going to evolve.
Well, yeah. So a lot of this has to do
like you have
with
this percentage chance of developing diabetes. And
yeah, we're not that far yet. Usually it's like, it's going to get a little grim here. So skip ahead if you don't want to talk about death. The University of Nottingham used 500,000 people. They plugged in people's demographic data and lifestyle choices. It even assessed their daily fruit, vegetable, and meat consumption to predict the risk of early death. And they didn't like state any statistics on success rates or anything like that, but I get the impression that they're just kind of waiting to see how accurate they are. Google also
I feel like once that's released, that will have a big impact on a diet industry and they will fight to like hide that info. You have like meat and milk lobbyists being like, no, it's good for you.
Yeah.
It makes your bones stronger. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. We did an episode on that. But on the short term, Google plugged in a bunch of health records of hospitalized patients and were able to accurately predict someone's death more accurately than a trained professional, because this is something that hospitals already do to prioritize their patients. They say, how likely is this person to die in the next 2 weeks or something like that? And Google did a better job, and that's good. But I think that quickly becomes scary, like an app that tells you when you're going to die.
And also tells you what you want to buy on Amazon.
Yeah.
So
now get these vitamins so you don't die.
Yeah. Jeez.
But then we get into like criminal prediction, and you get into like Minority Report, which I think is a good movie, right? Was that movie good?
Nobody knows. No one, there's not a single person that remembers that movie. There's no way.
I remember bits and pieces. He had a self-driving car, which was like a huge idea at the time.
Yeah, I remember that part being cool.
It's really funny that this is our topic this week. I didn't plan this at all, but I've been reading Ms. Marvel, and there's a whole storyline that takes place during the recent Civil War that happened during the comics, not the movie. And in this Civil War, there's an Inhuman. I'm going to go off the rails here for a little bit. Just stay
please,
with me.
Please, yeah.
There's an Inhuman named Ulysses, and they say that he can like predict the future, but he's like a crazy smart mathematician that can just like take in all of this information and predict when someone's going to commit a crime or kill someone or something like that. So they, some groups of superheroes are like, we got to put these people in jail for the amount of time until it's passed and they're not going to commit the crime anymore. And there's this really important moment where Kamala Khan's sister-in-law is like...
Kamala Khan is Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, she's Ms. Marvel. And her sister-in-law is African-American. And they're talking about the Civil War, about the predictive crime and predictive jail. And she's like, yeah, this already happened. This happened to my grandmother and my grandfather. This happened to Americans. We've been through this before, and look how well it turned out for us. And I was like, you're exactly right.
Oh, no.
That's what would happen if AI was like... put that person in jail because they're going to commit a crime.
Yeah.
But it hasn't stopped people from doing it. Hitachi has already, they say that they've created a program that can prevent crimes.
Wow, it's like if Fox and Friend had a brain.
I saw a thing on Reddit today that it was like easy food for stupid people or something. It was like a train advertisement. I'll have to find it for you.
Okay.
But they said that they use like internet feeds to forecast crimes like the weather. They bring in historical crime data, like different places.
Some grand larceny today, or
yeah, humidity in the low 30s. Yeah. So they bring in historical crime data, different areas, public transit trends, so where people are going to be and when, weather at the time, social media activity, and in some locations, I think it was in the Caribbean, they use video surveillance, all to predict when and where a crime is going to happen. Luckily, they don't say who's going to commit it, but like then they can say, please go there. And something bad is going to happen. Again, they didn't have any stats on success rate. And Hitachi says that it will make things like Stop and Frisk less racist. But again, it all comes down to the programmer. It's a human programming this thing. And if you program it just like the Face app or whatever, it's a white person making it. They're just like, they're plugging in pictures of hot white people. When you hit the hotter button, it's going to make you whiter.
Yeah.
Like that's where
I
it becomes slippery
really
slope.
I wonder how that really worked too. Yeah.
So... I'm not saying that's the right thing. I just want to make that clear. I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's just how humans work.
Something, yeah. This
humans
will be
are programming it. So.
In the news in the future.
Yeah. So how do you feel about AI, John?
Oh, man. Hey, Siri, how do I feel about AI?
Okay, I found this on the web for how do I feel about AI. Check it out.
That didn't really work. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, seriously, how do you feel?
The net benefits outweigh the negatives, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we should be scared of technology. I think it's more important than ever that this stuff's going to be inevitable.
Yeah.
And we should harness it and make rules and laws about them. And we didn't even
That's the regulation and laws are going to be super important.
Yeah.
But keep going.
We didn't even get into self-awareness.
I was thinking about that when I was researching. Like, we have to program in to this AI that it is an AI so it doesn't think, like, I'm a human. I must be human. And then, like, try to
collect blood.
collect
to put
collect
it in
blood
its robot
and
body.
Skin. And
yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, if you want a really good example of where AI can go wrong, just go watch Avengers Age of Ultron. Because they give it a prime directive, and it fulfills it. Or it tries to. It tries to put a shield around the world, and it ends up killing a lot of people.
Yeah, jeez.
So that's where just humans are programming it. So that's where it's scary.
Yeah, humans just are scary too, though. So
yeah, let the robots program the AI, and then we'll be good.
Okay, good. We'll make a decision-making robot. Yeah. To tell them what to do.
Yeah. Should we take a quick break? And when we come back, I have a really stupid question for you.
Okay, great. I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. Jonathan,
yeah.
Where can people find us?
Where you did. StrangeChillShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher, favorite podcasting app.
Spotify.
Make sure you leave us a review so it's easier for the automated
for the AI,
and
yeah.
artificial intelligence to find us.
And also tell your friends, because you're a human and humans will listen to humans more than they'll listen to robots.
Yeah, fight back the robots. Say like, hey, listen to Stranger Still. It's great. I learned this about this.
Yeah. So I got a question for you, John. It's the dumbest question I've ever asked you on the show.
Okay.
So you know how people will say like, I fed a neural network every script of Friends. And it wrote an episode of Friends.
Oh, I love those.
And you read them and they're not even funny.
Yeah.
It's just like stupid. If you could feed a neural network one piece of media and have it poop out something like that, what would it be?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or Adventure Time.
Adventure Time would be a good one. That would just, I feel like that would be really easy for an AI to make.
Yeah. It's very sporadic.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what kind of Scooby-Doo episode it would pop out. But that's the obvious answer for me.
Yeah.
The not obvious there's such answer.
That would be fun because there's a formula.
Yeah.
It's lesser end than the other
two. It has rules to follow, yeah.
Kirby Enthusiasm has formula too, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I just mean it's obvious for me because it's Scooby-Doo.
And you're wearing a Scooby-Doo shirt in front of your 8 mystery machines. There's literally a mystery machine on the floor next to me and on the floor next to you and in between us.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
My unexpected answer would have to be...
Carl Sagan's Cosmos. That'd be dope.
Can you imagine?
It would just be recycling information, though, wouldn't it?
Hang on. Let's see. Neural network rights... episode of Cosmos.
Billions of pages long.
Billions and billions. Doesn't look like anyone's done it, so we've got a...
Have a Stranger Still. We didn't think of that, huh? It would write our jokes in the beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't have... Let's learn how to make neural networks, John.
I'm still working on the one inside my brain.
All right, well, while you work on that, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
Beep, boop, beep.
I give you the incredible flying machine.